Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch,
presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse,
with Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Time to talk some Ravens and feed you some NFL football with NFL Lunch here at 1 o'clock on this Total Request Thursday. Get your votes in, featured artist Friday. Final hour of the show. Yesterday, John Harbaugh met with the media, and at the time, this was the update on Michael Pierce.
He did tear his bicep. He's making a decision now whether he wants to get it repaired, which would put him out for the season, or play with it and get the surgery after the season. It's going to be his decision. I haven't heard a final word on that yet. And either way, you know, there's logic to it either way. So it'll be Mike's decision on that.
And Jonah Schaefer tweeting this out 3 hours ago that Michael Pierce looks like Vinny has decided to get the surgery.
Yeah, so he's out. I'm guessing his career is over, Bob. That would be my guess, you know. What sucks for the Ravens is the guy was playing well, you know, because he's a guy that can play the run and he's got some pass rush ability. That's the thing that kind of hurts a little bit because he was being a productive player for him.
News today, Lamar Jackson was named as the AFC Offensive Player of the Month for September, and he had some serious competition, like from the guy that's going to be on the other sideline Sunday, Josh Allen. Patrick Mahomes had been off to a fine start. They lost Kansas City to the Colts this past Sunday, but only the second time he's won Player of the Week multiple times, but only the second time he was named Offensive Player of the Month. That was back in 2019, the MVP year in November that month.
He deserves it. You know, I mean, look at all the touchdowns, running, throwing, and look at all, you know, because they don't have a run game without him other than, this past week, you know, with Justice Hill getting 60 yards. Other than that, he's been their rusher, their passer, their offense.
Quarterback rating 119.
Yeah.
Which is higher than his MVP year, but still plenty of football left to be played. Now, as we look ahead to Sunday's game, Ronnie Stanley, injuries have been well documented on the offensive line, and in particular at left tackle, Ronnie Stanley. What's going on with him, John Harbaugh?
It's what we see, certainly, and what he feels. I mean, those are two things that both have to be taken into account. You know, Ronnie's not going to want to go out there, and we're not going to want him to go out there if feels like he's going to be good. You know, he's going to be ready to go. I think it's a priority to go out there and be at his best when he comes back. At the same time, he's going to have to jump in at some point, you know, so could be this week. We'll just have to see. He's practiced quite a bit today, and we'll see where it's at, you know, now and then tomorrow and then Friday and make a decision.
What I kind of hear there, Bob, is Ronnie's telling them, you know, I want to be at my best when I go back. I think it all boils back to last year when he was so bad, you know, against that Raider game. And he's like, you know, I got to be 100%. You know, and then Harbaugh's like, hey, you got to jump in eventually. You know, you can't be 110.
I'm guessing now, and you saw him out of camp when he did make an appearance, he's got to be light years ahead of where he was heading into that Raiders game.
He doesn't even have a limp or nothing. And, Bob, when we saw the film, you know, all those clips and stuff, he's moving well, and punching well. No, he looks – that's why I think Harbs is frustrated. You know, hey, you know, everything that he says is kind of like, well, Ronnie this, Ronnie that. It's all Ronnie.
Get on in. The water's fine.
Yeah.
58 Haney, 105.7 The Fan. NFL Lunch, the Blitz coming your way, ladies and gentlemen. Oftentimes, and John Harbaugh talks about his team being able to handle it.
Well, you know, I just think he's done a good job of every aspect of what we're trying to do offensively. You know, we worked at it, probably. That's probably the main thing. We've always worked at it, but we made a conscious effort, as you guys all know, to address how we attack blitzes. I mean, you know, we've also been healthy and things like that this year. So he's done a great job. The whole offense has done a great job with that. But you know what? It's only three games in. You know, we're going to see a lot more blitzes this year. We've got a lot of challenges in front of us still.
Yeah, obviously, you talked about Lamar and the way he's dealt with it.
Yeah, Lamar's dealt with it fine. And, you know, when they blitz, a lot of times he's responsible. They had a nice G-Row kind of nice little plan with how they picked up that wide rusher and stuff, you know, with the guy motioning across, or whether it be Ricard or whether it be Likely or whether it be Ross, you know, they would come across. And then, you know, what's funny was this past week, I saw Buffalo do the same protection that the Ravens did against Miami.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Now, one of the criticisms, Vinny, you've had about the Ravens and their pass offense, receivers in particular, inability to get yards after the catch, yards after contact, whatever you want to call it. Yak!
Yep.
In one way or another, Rashad Bateman is excelling in that area so far. Ed John Harbaugh certainly recognizes that.
He did at Minnesota for sure. Yeah, it did. I mean, I know it was part of the you know, plus category for him, but you see him in person, he's really, really quick out of the break. You know, I remember Steve Smith was one of those guys where he would catch the ball and it'd be like, well, it's not just two quick steps, it was two quick steps that were just freakishly long. He would cover so much ground right out of the break. And even when he was here, he still had that, you know. Not quite like he did before, but he still had it. So, you know, I'm not making the necessarily comparison, but Rashad's got that kind of quickness and that kind of burst where he changes the angle, you know, after the catch, and that's a good thing.
119 yak yards.
Yeah, I mean, Bob, like Harb said, I mean, that was one of the big things I liked him at Minnesota was, you know, he can run after the catch and so much better than Marquise Brown and, you know, after the catch. You know, he doesn't run out of bounds. He's looking to make a play, and he has the ability to make a play. So, to me, that's the impressive thing. He's got suddenness, you know, and he's, like Harb said, he's got the ability to change directions quickly, and he's got want to.
He has eight catches, and he's averaging 28.3 yards a catch. 226 total yards receiving, 119 via the yak variety, which is way ahead of anybody else on the team right now.
Right. So,
more yak than Diggs has, by the way.
Right. So, Bob, he'd have over 1,000 yards receiving with 40-some catches, which is unheard of.
Now, speaking of Bateman and Duvernay and the wide receivers, Lamar Jackson, Ravens quarterback, explains building the communication and building that trust.
Keep on the ball. Keep on the ball, you know, starting in practice, building our chemistry there. And like you said, I was telling you guys, like, he's fast. You know, he got great hands, good route runner. That's what you need in a receiver, and like, not just him, but all my guys.
I mean, Duvernay's eight targets, eight catches for 121 yards, but three of his eight catches are for touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, they both have eight catches, Bob. One's got a ton of yards, and the other's got three touchdowns. So it's a good combination, you know, right now, because kind of is like Duvernay is like the deep kind of guy. Well, actually, both of them kind of are, and both can run after the catch, as we see with Duvernay. Duvernay just needs to get opportunity to run with it after, because we've seen him as a punt returner and kick returner.
Now, for Lamar Jackson, three games in, we just talked about it, AFC Player of the Month offensively for September. 10 touchdowns, which I believe is the tops in the National Football League. Leads the Ravens in rushing. His quarterback rating's a .119, right on the nose. Lamar, assess your season so far.
I don't know. It's too early. It's too early right now. You know, it's only three games in. It's too early.
All right. Very humble with that response, but I'm sure he's got to be happy, Vinny, with the way things have began for him.
I thought
there's a ton of dough out there.
I thought he would say, I played two good games and one bad one. We're 2-1. You know, something like that. You know, but down deep, he knows he's played well. You know, I mean, he's got 10 touchdowns. Josh Allen got 9.
When we come back, we're going to talk about Josh Allen and Lamar. They don't play against each other per se, but same draft class, both highly regarded. Allen's already got his extension. Lamar's going to get his eventually. But the Bills coming in here, 3-point favorites. Does that offend you as a Ravens fan? And I know we do these comparisons between the two, but there has to be some respect for Josh Allen from Ravens fans, because Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson respect each other. We'll talk about that. We'll give you the Orioles lineup as they get ready for the Red Sox coming up at 1:35. Birds trying to salvage a split in Fenway as their playoff hopes are pretty much going away for 2022. Mike Harmon joins us bottom of the hour. Fox Sports Radio. Fantasy football advice coming hot and heavy here on The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, two opposites attracted by a paycheck. 105.7 The Fan.
I'm still pretty sore. I mean, playing in that heat and that humidity, it got to a lot of our guys. I mean, you saw throughout the game, injuries, guys getting out, started piling up. That's just kind of how the business goes sometimes, how the game goes sometimes. You know, there's a couple things that didn't go our way that we wish we had back. But we'll learn from this moment and we'll move on. We got the Baltimore Ravens this next week.
Josh Allen, that was on ESPN, talking about where he stands, where his team stands through three games, coming off that loss last week to the Dolphins that had Ken Dorsey losing his mind as they ran out of time on the field. They kind of screwed up at the end of the first half, too. So clock management, not Buffalo's friend. But you look at Allen, 71.2 completion percentage, over 1,000 yards, 109.8 quarterback rating, 9 touchdowns, 2 picks. He has been sacked 7 times. He's rushed it for 113 yards and 1 TD. And, you know, you used a Big Ben comparison earlier. Probably a little more athletic than Ben Roethlisberger was. And arm strength comparable, if not better than Roethlisberger in his prime.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah, and his movements, you know, is so much. He's such a better athlete than Ben was. You know, that's the thing. I mean, the guy is a guy that is, you know, shows kind of what hard work can do, Bob, how he's improved from year one. You know, kind of he and Lamar are kind of in similar paths that way, you know, with their work ethic and the improvement that they've had.
I mean, he went from, what was it, 19 to 20 when he was really in the MVP conversation when they went to the AFC Championship game. His completion percentage went over 10 points from 59 to almost 70, which Vinny is almost unheard of. I mean, you get from 60 to 65 or something, but he went up 10, almost 11 points. And as we just said, he's completing over 70% of his passes now.
Yeah. Didn't Lamar's first year, wasn't he 58? And we just said
it went up to 66.
Yeah. We just says, hey, if he just makes the layups, you know, he can get to like 61% or something. Then, you know, then he got, the MVP year of 66. You know, he went up eight percentage points.
Now, Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson were in the same draft class, and the only two of the first-round guys still on the same team that drafted them. And Lamar Jackson, he knows that there's a mutual respect between the two.
Yeah, very mutual respect between one another, you know. But he's in Buffalo, and I'm over here in Baltimore, you know, so it can't be no hanging out and stuff like that. But when we see each other, we show respect.
I'm sure they'll be hugging all over each other after the game.
I'm sure they really probably don't hang out in same circles together, you know, if they're in the same area. You know, I mean, they got their certain set of friends and stuff and probably go their own ways.
But they were the two of that first-round class that had the biggest question marks.
No doubt.
Josh Allen inaccurate, played in a weaker, weaker
school. Remember, he sucked against Iowa?
When he went up to Big Ten, and he got his ass kicked.
And, and Mel was in love. Mel was like all over him. I give Mel credit, man. Mel backed him from the beginning. Mel Kiper backed him from the beginning and said he's the guy. And he's turned out to be what Mel thought he was going to be.
Yeah, those two were very similar in regards to how they've evolved as football players. Now, Marcus Peters, he's into the ELE. Everybody love everybody, I'm sure. But here's Marcus Peters talking with the media yesterday out at One Winning Drive about the challenges of facing number 17.
I mean, we just got to do our job. Each individual got a job to do, man. And we got a great plan that we feel like we're putting together to go out there and put on the show for Sunday. But we just got to do our job. Trust that each one of us is going to do our job. And everything else to take care of itself. It's football at the end of the day.
Look behind the curtain a little bit. What would the plan be without Mike McDonald blabbing it to the entire world?
I'm sure there's got to be something about where you got to get some pressure on Josh Allen. You got to, because you can't let him have time to throw, Bob, with all the weapons, because he's got, you know, a bunch of guys that he can throw to. That's the thing. The biggest thing, I think, with the Ravens' secondary, two things. Got to be no mental errors, and you got to tackle well. That's gonna be the big part of it. You know, keep everybody in front of you. Don't let anybody over your head and give them cheap. Make them earn everything, because as it showed last week, Bob, look at all the chances they had. They self-destructed at some point. And I think that's got to be the plan. Bend, but don't break. We know they're going to get yards. They're good. They're going to get yards. But rally to the ball, tackle them, and if we can create turnovers, that's what they got to do.
Speaking of forcing turnovers, Marcus Peters, two games in, he's got a pick. He's got a forced fumble and a fumble recovery. Marcus Peters forcing turnovers means what?
I mean, I think it's the one of the key things to winning, man. You know, you got to turn over the ball so you can get your offensive chance as many chances as possible to score points, man. And it ultimately takes away points for opportunities for them, you know. So it's something that we wanted to do this year. We wanted to turn the ball over. So we started off fast with Marcus. You know, we got three picks, and, you know, we're just trying to keep adding them on, man.
Ravens were terrible in that category last year.
Yeah. Well, what killed them was, you know, they were terrible against the pass, terrible numbers, but they got no turnovers and no sacks, like you said. I mean, so it was, like, really bad.
Right now, number two in the NFL in turnover differential, plus five, are the Ravens. Jason Pierre-Paul, he signed, he practiced, he's ready to go, we think. And Marcus Peters, what does this addition mean for the Ravens defense?
I think just his veteran leadership, man, he done won it, what, three times, Super Bowl, I think, twice? Yeah, so you feel me? He know what it takes to get to the Super Bowl, man. And just watching, you know, when they beat the Chiefs, you know, I think he was a key part of putting together that rush plan, man, of how they can attack certain quarterbacks who are mobile and those things. So I think it's going to be very big to add him to our group, man.
How would you set your expectations for Pierre-Paul for this year? What goal would you want him to achieve?
I would say if he could get the Ravens seven sacks, you know, my goal for him to be would get me to a Jabo, you know, him in Houston. Get me to a Jabo, you know, let's get Owe going. And then all of a sudden you got JPP, Houston, a Jabo, Owe, you know, Bowser. You know, then all of a sudden, you know, you kind of replenished yourself. But Houston and JPP, get us to, you know, our reinforcements.
And it's time for Owe to come to the party, too.
Yes, he's got the invitation. He hadn't accepted it yet.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Week four of the NFL season starts tonight. A game you can hear on this radio station. Dolphins at Bengals, 8:15 kickoff. Cincinnati, -3.5. Looks like Tagovailoa and Jalen Waddle will play tonight as they've had some issues at practice this week. So, Norm, as we head into week four, with the picks, Vinny Serrato is setting the pace right now, and you and I are still chasing right now.
That's right. Official numbers here. Vinny is up by 3.
That's it?
On me. I did pretty well last week. Mm. Ended up, what did I win? I went 13-7.
Excuse us.
Last week.
Jesus.
So Vinny, on the year, 31-25 for Vinny. I'm an even 28-28, and Bob, 25-31.
Not time for the Hail Mary, but they were kind of dialing it up in the playbook. We'll get their college games tomorrow and the rest of the schedule in the NFL, but let's start it off. Dolphins at Bengals. Vinny Serrato, who wins tonight and why?
Dolphins at Bengals. I'm going to say I think this is kind of an easy win for the Bengals tonight. Reason being is Dolphins defense was on the field 41 minutes last week in the heat and humidity. And, you know, it's a Thursday game. They traveled Wednesday morning. So, you know, their bodies aren't even fresh yet. I just think it's going to be really tough. Tua's banged up. Cincy, 1-2, home crowd. Home teams usually do well, you know, on the road. And then the Bengals, if they can get to 2-2, Bob, then they got 10 days off to go to the Ravens. I think this is a big game for them tonight, but I think they get after them pretty good tonight.
What you got there, Nolan McGraw?
I'm going to take the Bengals as well, stealing what Clifton Brown told us earlier this week and what Vinny just said. One team needs it a lot more. That's the Bengals. Short week for the Dolphins, plus, you know, even shorter traveling to avoid the hurricane. So I'm going to take the Bengals.
And you look at the Dolphins, they're 3-0. They should be commended for that for sure. Ravens should have beat them. Buffalo dominated them statistically last week, so they should have beat them. I think they're, I don't want to call them lucky, but I think Cincinnati, and as Nolan said, paraphrasing Clifton, 1-3 is not a good place to be. coming to Baltimore if you're Cincinnati next week. So I think the Bengals, I don't know if they puffy pants them, but Cincinnati, well, they'll get the much needed win against the Miami Dolphins tonight. A game you can hear on 105.7 The Fan. Orioles getting ready for the Boston Red Sox. Baltimore lineup is as follows. Cedric Mullins leading off in center field. Adley Rutschman behind the plate, batting second. Anthony Santander, chasing Kenny Singleton. All-time homers for a switch hitter in Orioles uniform. He's your DH in the three-hole. Ryan Mountcastle had a rough night last night. He's batting fourth at first base. Gunnar Henderson back in the lineup at third, batting fifth. Austin Hayes at right field, batting sixth. Rookie! Batting seventh at second. Kyle Stowers in left field, batting eighth. Jorge Mateo, your shortstop, taking on Nathan Eovaldi, hard-throwing right-hander. Mike Bauman on the hill for the Birds of Baltimore. When we come back, fantasy football advice is coming your way at the highest level. Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio, Funhouse Trip, Nolan McGraw, and then it's Inside Access coming up here at 2 o'clock here on The Fan.
Sports 24-7, 105.7, the voice of the Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7, the Fan here on this Total Request Thursday. You're picking the songs at 410-583-1057. You're getting your votes in for Featured Artist Friday, which we'll let you know. Coming up here in the next segment, Orioles about to take on the Red Sox with fading playoff hopes, trying to just salvage the split up at Fenway Park. But Thursday night football, very interesting game. Cincinnati hosting the Dolphins. Here to talk about that, give us some fantasy advice to make you smarter than your friends from Fox Sports Radio, SwollenDome.com, and I Want Your Flex is the podcast. He joins us on the Ashley Furniture Hotline, Mike Harmon. Mike, what is up with the beautiful people out in L.A.?
Oh, you know, a beautiful day out here. A little overcast, but on the whole, you know, people find something to complain about. Dodgers are playing meaningless games. The Rams aren't quite right. Chargers were putting up candles because of everybody hurt. So, you know, it's the usual.
All right, you mentioned the Chargers. And, you know, Justin Herbert, we like as a player. Electric arm, fascinating personality. Great hair, as we can all agree.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But he's banged up. And on that, Austin Eckler's not running the ball effectively. Keenan Allen's been out for a couple of weeks. So as we look at the Chargers heading to Houston and needing to win in a big way, are there still viable fantasy options on the L.A. team right now?
Yeah, I mean, look, as long as Herbert's out there, he's still going to be a top 10 performer. Still got the arm. You can still wing it downfield. They have had some attrition also in their secondary receivers when you get past the Allen-Williams duo. So that's creating a little bit of havoc. And I know many people frustrated over Austin Eckler, but you got to give it time, patience. It'll work out. And if he's not a top 24, according to anybody's metrics on a week-to-week basis, at least going into games, then, you know, you might as well just jump ship on the whole fantasy thing. So, still options, but not the easy sledding they thought. Although they play a Houston team, as I've called it, Lovie plays some loser ball. In other words, he doesn't play to win.
Now, speaking of quarterbacks from a fantasy perspective for this weekend, 1 o'clock up in Philly, 1 o'clock Eastern time. You have Trevor Lawrence, who just rolled through the Chargers like, knife through butter. And then you have Jalen Hurts, who, you know, you got Lamar, you got Josh Allen as MVP kind of guys. And then Hurts is certainly looking like a guy who might get himself into the conversation. How would you view this game from a quarterback choice, Jacksonville, Philadelphia?
Well, you're going to play Hurts, and he, you know, with the running aptitude that he has and the way the offense rolls, there'll be some lean days, and I'm curious to see what the Jacksonville defense is made of. Obviously, they did a great job against the Chargers. How much of that was the injury to Herbert, my guy Slater going down, you know, a few Northwestern guys, but Chargers certainly have a couple of them. But you go down the list and looking at what their defense is up front, you know, the other Josh Allen, they certainly bring a tough task. With Trevor Lawrence against that Philly secondary, still you want to see some consistency behind Christian Kirk. Yeah, think about saying that sentence all the way through. and continued growth. He's a nice sleeper option, and I think a good daily pick because the valuation hasn't caught up yet. But Hurts is your pick if you're choosing between the two this week.
Hey, Mike, let me ask you a non-fantasy one about what's the perception in L.A. of Staley, you know, the Chargers coach?
Well, I'm already putting up Photoshop pictures of Sean Payton.
Yeah.
That'll tell you what I think about it all. I think there's a respect and a like for a guy getting into that position as quickly as he did and the hope that things can work. But it's pretty clear that the aggressiveness, the analytics, whatever that clash is, against old school football is always going to win out in the media, right? Because when you choose wrong, there's no place better than L.A. to tell you that you failed, right? We see it in your Hollywood reports. When something doesn't do well at the box office, suddenly all the, hey, I love you on the red carpet become daggers as soon as a movie doesn't perform so well. Same thing with your sports teams. Everybody just waits with bated breath for, all right, what are the Dodgers going to do in the postseason this year? That kind of thing, no matter how charmed the regular season is. And I think for Staley, it's the same. And unfortunately, the other thing is, for at least for the short term, he doesn't have the guys to get the job done, or at least on the surface. You got limited offensive guys and losing, again, Slater, not to go to my Northwestern love too much, but guys graded out as one of the best players at the position. So difficult there. And then Joey Bosa, they tried to tap dance for a bit, but now he's on the IR. Tough sledding. Jackson's hurt. You paid a lot of money to bring him in. So the expectations falling quickly in a division that doesn't look like anybody's going to go run and hide.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, I'm guessing in the Buffalo-Baltimore game, there's a lot of fantasy people that'll be up this week.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the top fives for both Allen and Jackson. I mean, there's no – see Allen Jackson way down yonder on the Chattahoochee. As we go, see what I did there?
I'm
just a fan of all pop culture all the time. But, you know, you got Bateman, Duvernay now getting more respect as a number three. Mark Andrews, I think week to week we can pencil him in as the number one, barring something crazy at the tight end position. Where it's interesting for both these squads is still trying to figure out from the running back position what you're going to get, if anything. That's more of a crapshoot, mm-hmm. which I never thought I'd say that with a Baltimore team. And then Buffalo, at some point, they've got to decide. And the rumors of a Saquon Barkley to the Buffalo Bills thing, whether it's just something thrown out and thrown against the wall by Boomer Esiason or not, certainly raises the eyebrow and gets you excited. Because think about how much you could do with Gabe Davis and Stephon Diggs if you had an adequate running back, let alone one of your top guys in the game.
Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio, SwollenDome.com. I Want Your Flex is the podcast. All right, it's week four starts tonight. Who's up? Who's down? How you winning? How you losing fantasy-wise this weekend?
I'm sitting down, too, because I don't know about the back, and I'm smart enough, and I think you guys are smart enough to realize, hey, dude wasn't right and banged his head. So we'll see. And Jalen Waddle's banged up a little bit, too. Both are going to try to go, but tough sledding for both. Joe Burrow, I got him up against Miami. He's got to get the ball out fast. I don't care how much their defense was on the field against Buffalo. They will bring it, and that offensive line is going to get tested. But still, top 10 play for me. On the downside, Captain Kirk at New Orleans, I don't care what he did the last time he was here in London. He and Justin Jefferson are two guys with giant cautionary flags for me. Just enjoy your croissants or whatever you're eating for breakfast while you watch that game on Sunday morning. And just move on down the line. Russell Wilson, after that cringy Subway ad leaked, I'm all for it. I think it's great that there might be something more to this guy. At Las Vegas, an opportunity here for him to actually get in your lineup. And I mentioned Stafford before going up against San Francisco. I want no part of it. Running backs, consensus in the world is that Taylor's the number one against Tennessee. I say not so fast. He's a guy that's a back end number one for me this week. So daily fantasy, I want no part of it. We've got Joe Mixon tonight. We'll get him in. Leonard Fournette against Kansas City, even though he's telling his teammates he's going to need some help. And Najee Harris against the New York Football Jets. I've got all the way up in my top five because I believe Pittsburgh actually has themselves a game for once, even if you can still blame Canada. Obligatory South Park reference here. Wide receivers really quickly. I'm on Ross St. Brown. And those Detroit Lions, he and Jamal Williams, I think, are two of my favorite plays with St. Brown. Just check the injury reports. A lot of these guys aren't practicing midweek. It's almost like they were veterans with days off, gentlemen. And then Drake London and Marcus Mariota. Let's go for a little tag team in the daily play against the Cleveland Browns.
Hey, he's Mike Harmon. What's happening at SwollenDome.com? And when's that I Want Your Flex podcast dropping again?
Well, I'm about ready to record the next iteration. I'll probably go on a rant against people that stuck their heads in the sand and got fat and rich during the baseball explosion of the late 90s, early 2000s, and are now wag their fingers. It's not fantasy football related, but anytime I have a soapbox, I'm going to take it. So that'll be up on Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your audio. Give it, download it, give it 5 stars. We'll love you forever. I'm working on a greeting card series for the holiday season, so keep an eye out for that. Otherwise, at Swollen Dome, at Swollen Dome on Instagram and Twitter for all the rants and everything you need. Sit, start questions up towards kickoff on Sunday morning.
Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio. Mike, always great to talk to you. Enjoy the rest of your Total Request Thursday. We'll talk to you next week.
Peace and love, fellas. Have a great weekend.
You too, Mike.
Mike Harmon.
Enjoy that game. That's a doozy.
Yeah. We're going to make our picks tomorrow. It's going to be good.
I'll be tuned in. I have to hear it.
Yeah, you don't want to hear it. Gonna be bad if you're a Ravens fan.
Put it that way.
Teaser. All right, see you.
That's what you call a tease.
That's right. Professional. He's Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio. We'll come back. Trip to the Funhouse. Nolan McGraw, Inside Access coming up at 2. We got Mike Loxley at 7 o'clock talking about that matchup, Terps against Michigan State. And then it's Thursday Night Football, Cincinnati hosting the Dolphins.
At the stadium, Vinny schmoozes in luxury suites.
From the left, dear one, serves from the left.
Whatever's gotten into you, Calpurnia?
Haney posts up in the bleachers.
You're off, Kermit! Follow up, yeah!
The only place to catch Vinny and Haney together is on 105.7 The Fan.
Orioles, Red Sox, bottom one at Fenway. Scoreless. Rutschman doubles off the monster. Gets stranded at second base. Mike Bauman on the hill for the Orioles. Two outs, bottom one. Orioles trying to salvage a split against the Red Sox. Then it's off to the Bronx, taking on the Yankees for 3. And then back home to Camden Yards for Toronto as they wrap up the 2022 season. Trying to get to those 82 wins that will put them over 500 for the first time since 2016. You got Thursday Night Football here on The Fan as Cincinnati's hosting Miami. Everybody kind of leaning in Cincinnati's direction tonight.
I think so. I think, you know, Thursday night games, the home team has the big advantage, you know, and they've been up there since Wednesday and they had a long, hot game. Big emotional game for them last week with Buffalo. I just think it's a tough one for the Bengals, for Miami.
Miami looking to go to 4-0, drop Cincy to 1-3, which no one expected they would be, but we'll see. 2-2 looks like the more likely scenario, but that's why they play the games. Now, Nolan McGraw, we've been asking people since 11 o'clock to get their votes in for Featured Artist Friday. Anything different? Anything shocking? Or is it more of the same old, same old?
Well, probably more of the same old, but certainly an artist you could fill 24 hours worth of time with, let alone 4. Steely Dan.
Steely Dan!
Featured artist tomorrow.
Jerry Coleman is smiling somewhere for his Steely Dan. So that'll be who we're jamming out to tomorrow, starting at 10:15. Quick draw. You ready to go? Huh? Oh, who's coming on tomorrow, by the way?
Oh, let's take a look. Who I've written down here.
Okay.
Well, we'll have Keith Kavanaugh, as always, about the Terps match.
8.5-point favorites. Big line for Maryland.
Yeah. That's right.
And Evan Washburn, he'll be on the CBS crew this Sunday. Ian Eagle will be on the main call. But Evan Washburn manning the sidelines.
Nice.
For Ravens, Bills. And he's a local guy, so yeah. I'm sure he'll be jazzed
been
up
in
for
this
that.
Building before.
That's right. A friend of the station. Mm-hmm. Is what we'll call him. Yeah. So Evan will join us at 1:30.
Yeah, Bills minus 3. So there you go. Ravens getting points at home, but Inside Access awaits, followed by Mike Loxley, followed by Thursday Night Football. Let's go to that funhouse.
Quick draws, funhouse. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Ray in Baltimore, we heard from him earlier on the phone. He's on the fire Brandon Hyde train, or starting that train. And he's chiming back in, says, tired of apologists for Hyde. It's time for Buck Britton to get his shot. There's a guy that actually trusted a lot of these young players that are now up when they were in the minors.
Yeah, Bowie now, what's he at Norfolk now, Buck Britton? And he's Mike Elias's, not his guy, but he's a confidant. Zach Britton, brother, by the way, Buck Britton. I think Hyder signed through next year, at least. I don't think Brandon Hyde's going anywhere. Not yet, Ray. Next year, pressure's going to be on Brandon Hyde to manage a successful team, for sure. And the pressure's going to be on Elias to bolster what's already there.
This offseason, yeah.
Man, it's going to be fun stuff.
Texter here says, if you're going to compare Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen, why not compare their playoff numbers, which is what really matters?
Well, they've met once in the playoffs.
Not head overall.
Well, what are they overall? What are they?
Well, Lamar's what?
One and three.
Yeah. And Josh Allen's.
He's been to a championship game. They won a game last year. He's got at least three postseason wins, and one of them against Baltimore. So is that what he wanted?
I think the texter was he's taking a dig at Lamar. In okay, the playoffs is what he's doing there. Jay in Essex, Lamar's contract, says when Cleveland gave Watson that contract, they opened the can of worms. They messed everything up. This season, Lamar is 87% of the offense, so running and passing. Why would he accept $100 million less than Watson? Just doesn't make sense.
In guarantees. That's what he would be getting less of. You know, and that's the hang up. That's what he doesn't want. He's going to get paid, but it's just not going to be all guaranteed.
Another person here on the Orioles lineup says, I understand, I hear the Cedric Mullins left-hander stuff, but baseball has stats for everything. We know that. Be interested to hear what the stats are for Cedric's replacements against lefties. I can't imagine they're exactly lighting it up.
Look, this is a guy that wore out left-handers last year. He has struggled barely over 200 in 2022, but had been heating up. And if you're starting to get hot, I don't think it matters who's throwing the baseball. I mean, you could kick it up there Bruce Lee style. If you got a guy swinging a hot stick, keep him in the lineup. And if I'm Cedric Mullins, I am somewhat offended over the fact that in September you're chasing the playoffs and he's riding a bench against certain lefties. I'm running hot if I'm Cedric Mullins.
Well, a little bit early we had Rich Dubroff on, and I'm not putting words in his mouth, but he said something along the lines of players being tired, you know, perhaps asking for off days. Paraphrasing.
I don't know if that's totally the truth.
I've never heard of, you know, right. Can I get the day off?
He walks in his pajamas. He's not feeling today, Scott. Nah. He may be tired, but I doubt that he asked out of that game because of fatigue.
We're on the same page then. A texter is hoping that that was not the case for obvious reasons, saying, where's your heart at? I hope that's certainly not true. Mullins never struck me as that type of player.
Yeah, I think Hyde was kind of rationalizing to the media, well, you know, he's a little tired, and I don't think Cedric Mullins would have ever asked out of a big game like that.
And let's see, one just rolled in here. Says, I hate when people compare quarterbacks or compare how many playoff games they won.
Uh-oh.
The quarterbacks only play one position. They do not play defense. So it goes on. It's absolutely ridiculous. Over the years, Brady versus Manning was always propped up to more than it should have been.
Well, because they played against each other a lot in the playoffs.
Championship game, yeah.
I mean, there's where the comparison always lied. Yeah. So,
I mean, that's Lamar's next step is he's got to win playoff games.
And they've met once, and Buffalo won.
Yeah.
And Lamar threw a pick six in that game, too, when the Ravens were driving. And he got knocked out of the game, unfortunately. But chance at redemption coming up Sunday at 1 o'clock. We'll be talking about that a lot tomorrow. Hopefully talking about the Orioles getting a win against Boston, keeping their faint playoff hopes alive. Preview Maryland, Michigan State as well. Going to do it for us. Inside Access coming up next. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe. Stay healthy. We'll talk to you in the morning. For now, class dismissed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.